Okay, welcome back. We have wow, that was a very important hour. It explains so much. Just think about this. You've spent a lifetime building a personality in the hippocampus on the basis of memory, behavior, attitude, and this spike protein will get in there and cause your own brain to begin to overwrite and rewrite and erase your personality bit by bit. And the change in people can be minute. It certainly morph into a major change. This is really, really getting worse. And I am not a negative person, but I want to know my enemy. And this is the ultimate enemy of the human species. This whole thing. Whoever put this virus together and the bioweapon injection together, I don't think is human. I think humans certainly participated, but I still believe there's an ET component here, an evil ET component. Somehow. It's too damned biologically insane what's going on with this. Okay. Mitchell Henderson is here tonight. It's a holiday week, and we've had to shuffle Monday's three guests and make sure that they got on during the week, so we've been able to do that. Mitch is back tonight. This whole Ukraine thing, it's not just Ukraine. Remember that the rumors about Israeli doctors being in Ukraine, pulling out major organs for sale from dead Ukrainians and even dead Russian troops that they happen to catch, get them in there within the hour, and they're still barely alive, and they just take their organs. Well, guess where else they're doing this? The Jews are also doing this in Gaza. The reports are now that many wounded Palestinian fighters are being stripped of their vital organs by the Israelis, by the Zionist Bolshevik Jews, and they're putting it into the world organ market. This really is, in many ways, turning into the planet evil. Certainly the planet Zion is bad out there. Mitchell, welcome back. Thanks for being here. It's always a pleasure. We always
Good
learn.
To be
Thank you.
Here.
Yeah.
It's funny you should mention that because I just got a report today from Israel complaining about them taking organs out of Palestinians.
Yeah. They're
massively.
Ghouls.
They had 40 bodies looked at by international people that were missing hearts and lungs, livers, kidneys, et cetera, et cetera. So,
look, I'm sorry that this planet. There are people, and I'm not saying this as a belief system. There are many people out there who point to virtually most of the ills of this planet and the horrible things going on, everything from pornography to organ stealing and harvesting like this. They say it's all the Jews. And I'm not saying that all Jews are that way. They're not. So that's the unfair part of it. But many of them are that way. And when you see Netanyahu's public acceptance and support poll figures going up and up and up, the more talk about killing them all in Gaza, you know there's some real problems out there. This whole thing has been ethnic cleansing. And now there's one Israeli company offering to build you a beachfront home on Gaza's beaches after the fighting stops. Can you believe that?
Well,
yes,
all
you can.
This evil leads in to what I want to talk about tonight. What I want to talk is about sex and child sacrifice. And I want to carry it back to the beginning. So you can see the progression of this, okay?
Okay, yeah.
So I'll start with sex and the destruction of the family. In his 1884 book, The Origin of the Family, Private Property, and the State, Friedrich Engels basically argued that the modern capitalist state was founded upon the family, or more precisely, the patriarchy, and that the concept of private property derives from the family, which leads to the state, which is established to protect private property and family interests. It therefore follows that in order to destroy the state, private property must be destroyed. To destroy private property, the family must be destroyed. And to destroy the family, the patriarchy must be destroyed. To destroy the family, the patriarchy must be destroyed by feminism, and sexual relations between people must be destroyed by destroying the very concept of sex. This means that the concept of gender must be undermined, as well as heterosexual relationships between the genders. If there are no genders, there is no heterosexuality. Engels' work was elucidated by the Frankfurt School of Marxism, Freudianism, philosopher Herbert Marcuse, who was the original theorist of the 1960s sexual revolution. Feminism was to be the hammer with which to destroy the patriarchy and the family directly. Marcuse said, and I quote, "I believe that we men have to pay for the sins of a patriarchal civilization and its tyranny of power. Women must become free to determine their own life, not as a wife, not as a mother, not as a mistress, not as a girlfriend, but as an individual human being." End quote. As you can see, the negation of marriage, motherhood, and the negation of heterosexual relationships between men and women is a direct attack on the family.
Mitch, hold on. Hold on. May I step in here just for a moment, please?
Yes.
You said something 45, 60 seconds ago about how sex was going to be eradicated, something like that. I forgot the exact formation, what you said, but that is part of the plan. George Orwell knew about that. He said that the orgasm was going to be annihilated, gotten rid of, erased. Let me play this little clip because it fits perfectly with Engels and what you're saying. It's very short. This is from the movie about Orwell, played by a brilliant actor. And Orwell is in bed dying of tuberculosis when he is making these statements.
But he left one final warning.
1984 is, I believe, a quite terrifying masterpiece. So terrifying, in fact, I don't think I should like to read another like it.
I'm not absolutely dissatisfied with it. I think it is a good idea, but the execution would have been better if I had not been under the influence of TB when I wrote it.
You once claimed that you have an ability to face unpleasant facts. Is that what you've demonstrated in 1984 by drawing an accurate portrait of the future?
I think that allowing for the book being, after all, a parody, something like 1984 could actually happen. This is the direction the world is going in at the present time. In our world, there will be no emotions except fear, rage, triumph, and self-abasement. The sex instinct will be eradicated. We shall abolish the orgasm. There will be no loyalty except loyalty to the party. But always, there will be the intoxication of power. Always, at every moment, there will be the thrill of victory, the sensation of trampling on an enemy who is helpless. If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever.
There it is. Right there.
Yep.
It's all there.
Well, Orwell read Lenin and Engels and Marx. He was very well schooled in all of that. So
yeah,
he could see it coming.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So let's go back to a religious context. This was the worship of the Egyptian goddess Isis, who is the protector of woman, bringer of magic, and the embodiment of cosmic order. In Sumer, she was called Inanna. in Babylon, Ishtar, Phoenician, Astarte, and was the goddess of love, sexuality, and war. She took many lovers and had the tradition of the temple prostitutes, wherein all women had to at least once prostitute themselves with a strange man at the temple. In the Bible, this was the Canaanite goddess Ashtaroth, the queen of heaven, goddess of war and sexual love. In all cases, sex is equated with death instead of life. In Hebrew, Ashtoreth literally means shameful and abomination. The worship of these goddesses was attended by sexual immorality. It was inimical to women, men, and children. Modern feminism is ancient goddess worship. The goal is to undermine the patriarchy by putting women first, by making women more equal than men. This manifests itself in a drift towards making both cultural and legal standards of looking at or talking to a woman as sexual harassment and touching a woman for any reason whatsoever as sexual battery. In all cases, a woman is to be believed, period. If she accuses, it must be true. As you can see, this makes marriage all but impossible because it is a standard that makes any relationship between a man and a woman impossible. Men become sex toys of women at a woman's leisure. This destroys the patriarchy. However, sex is a major component of the goddess cult. However, in order to have sex without empowering the patriarchy, sex must not be tied to gender. If we erase gender, we can erase heterosexuality. If there is no gender, all sex becomes homosexuality. They arrest gender by saying that it is a cultural construct as opposed to a biological fact. Since gender is a social construct, each person is allowed to pick their own gender regardless of their factual biological gender, and by law, we must recognize their choices as a reality. So if you are a biological man that identifies as a woman, when you have sex with another biological man, you are heterosexual. When you have sex with a biological woman, you are a lesbian. And when you have sex with another man who identifies as a woman, you are also a lesbian. In other words, terms like homosexual and heterosexual are blurred into meaninglessness. In the Marxian feminist construct, there is no sodomy and there is no shame in it. This is further accelerated in the concept of gender fluidity. If you are a man that can choose to identify as a woman, then why can't you change your gender at will? This morning, you are a woman, this afternoon, a man. This was a predictable consequence of the dialectical materialism of erasing contradictions by simply erasing gender and sexual distinctions. This goes further outside gender to include ageism. Ageism initially just meant bias against people due to their age or discrimination against people because they were too old. However, that morphed into discrimination against the young by the old by the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor through the concept that old people oppressed young people through the cultural, social, and economic power structures. Youth liberation became a cause, but like all contradictions, Marxism erased the contradictions by erasing age altogether. In other words, age is just a number. In the sex and gender multiverse, you can also identify as a child. If you're a man who decides to identify as a woman, there's a well-established commercial and medical industries to support you in your delusion. They make women's clothing and prosthetics for men to help them pass as women. They even sell female furums that men can splash on them to attract other straight males. To further their efforts at passing as a woman, the medical industry offers hormone therapy to offer men both testosterone blockers, such as aldosterone, and estrogen itself, so a man can feel more like a woman. Then they offer surgery, such as breast augmentation and even sexual reassignment surgery, so they can appear biologically like a woman. However, a man will still have XY chromosomes and a woman will still have XX chromosomes. At the cellular level, a man will always be a man and a woman will always be a woman. It is, after all, just an obsession masking reality to support a delusion. So there is another commercial industry that markets little girl clothing to men who identify as women who also identify as anything from a baby girl to a teenage girl. This is also sexual obsession that has a support system. Like, people support each other, and there are prostitutes who cater to these men. Why is this important? Because you see, if you are a man that identifies as a toddler girl, then having sex with an actual toddler girl is not pedophilia. Just as if there are no genders, there is no homosexuality. If there is no age, there is no pedophilia. In obeisance to Ashtaroth, we erase shame and abomination by erasing both age and gender. So this leads to Pandora's box. In Latin America, the street term for transsexuals is Pandora. It is fitting in this context because in Greek mythology, the gods created the beautiful Pandora, the first ever woman, to punish humanity. As a gift, Zeus gave Pandora a box with the instructions to never open it. However, as soon as Zeus was out of sight, she took the lid off and poured out all the troubles of the world. The moral of this myth was to avoid unchecked curiosity and disobedience. The biological and straightforward sex between a man and a woman was polluted by taking the lid off of sex and gender and then age. But that is not all. There are many who consider themselves pansexual. Let's consider this to mean just that they are gender blind sexually, but not all. To some, it means sex outside the species or bestialities. And others believe it means sex with any animal or even non-living objects or fetishism. Fetishism is a sexual gratification with specific non-sexual parts of the body or even inanimate objects. This includes urine and feces. This further devolves into sexual gratification from either receiving or administering pain, not just common BDSM practices of bondage, discipline, submission, and sadism, but carried to the extreme in snuff pornography. My last year on the police department, I was working organized crime specifically related to human trafficking and prostitution. An informant came forward with links to snuff pornography and specifically to a Florida cult called the Hands of Death. They would kidnap women from grocery store parking lots and make them stars in their snuff porn movies where they were sexually tortured and killed. This is the maximum of what comes out of the sexual Pandora's box. This is where sexual curiosity and disobedience is at its nadir for adults. This is not urban legend. Out of this sexual Pandora's box comes every sick and disgusting thing that can possibly be imagined. It is there. I spent 4 years as a vice cop. I saw it all. Okay.
Wow.
Acceptance of feminism, LGBT culture, and critical gender theory is ultimately acceptance of it all. Marxist sexuality is a salad bar with many unsavory sides. It is satanic. So let's get to child sacrifice. In feminism, LGBT liberation, and cultural gender theory, it is a total revolt against both God and nature. What does child sacrifice stand against? It stands against Christ directly. You see, not only did Christ warn us against harming little children, but the killing of little children is a direct imitation of crucifying Christ because they are innocent blood. Because the crucifixion of Christ, the most extreme act of devotion to Satan, is shedding innocent blood of or child sacrifice. Through the conditioning of society to accept the negation of gender and age in support of pedophilia and the acceptance of abortion on demand, we as a society are supporting child sacrifice. Child sacrifice is a direct satanic affront to Christ because they are sacrificing the innocent, just as Christ was innocent. They have conditioned us to accept this evil by two methods, by claiming that Christ was not innocent and by normalizing the harming of children, the most innocent amongst us. First, Hollywood started in the 1970s to portray Christ in unconventional ways. Rock operas like Jesus Christ Superstar and Godspell never showing Christ being resurrected. These have been done over in many venues, often having women portray Christ. This is regarded as brave art. Blasphemy is a show of bravery. Brave art. Blasphemy is a show of bravery to the most arrogant among us. In 1988, The Last Temptation of Christ portrayed him as marrying the prostitute Mary Magdalene and accepting that he was not the Messiah. In 2001, in the 2001 movie Revelation, Christ is portrayed as a hermaphrodite, or what is now called an intersex person. In the 2016 movie Three Christs, Christ is portrayed as a schizophrenic. Then in 2018 Netflix movie The Last Hangover, Christ is portrayed as being a gay who introduces his gay boyfriend Orlando to his pot-smoking mother Mary. It will only get worse from here out. Within the Catholic Church, Pope Francis fired the Bishop of Tyler, Texas, Joseph Strickland, on November 9th for opposing Francis's LGBT theology, and on November 29th fired Cardinal Raymond Burke for the same. In 1993, Jesuit priest Bob Goss claimed that Christ was a gay pedophile. And in 2005, Catholic priest Gene Robinson declared that Christ was gay. In the Episcopal Church, theologian Susanna Cornwall said Christ was intersex in 2012, and Lutheran pastor Clint Schnittkopf said the same. Last week, Pope Francis made it official. Priests now can now bless sodomy in Christ's name.
The church is going down in flames, Mitch, as you know. It's been taken over, by communists.
On the other hand, harming children has been downplayed as an evil. Consider the baby in the womb. It is the most innocent human a human can be. In the United States, there has been at least 65 million abortions since 1973. In the world, there have been 1.7 billion abortions. This is child sacrifice, shedding innocent blood for a better materialistic life. That's what sacrifice, this is exactly why babies were sacrificed by the Canaanites, to gain material advantages. This desensitizes us to the death of babies. Feminists demand that abortion is a human right. Legal experts want to revoke the Second Amendment and create a new Second Amendment, making abortion a God-given and natural right. Can you imagine the reprobate mind that can accept murdering babies as a right that God gives us?
No.
It is so twisted.
No, no.
Okay. This past year, the movie Sound of Freedom came out to condemn child sex trafficking. Hollywood roundly condemned it. It had no support from Hollywood, the government, nor from mainstream media. In spite of that, it did quite well and was supported by the public. Last month, Tim Ballard, who the movie was based upon, was accused of sexual assault by a woman that worked for him. They will do anything to discredit someone who tries to stop pedophilia, but nothing to stop an actual pedophile like Joe Biden. The federal government, up until this very day, is protecting all of the pedophiles that Jeffrey Epstein hooked up with kids. Senator Marsha Blackburn has been asking Senator Dick Durbin to subpoena the flight logs of Epstein, but he lies and says he knows nothing about it and claims that no one has ever asked him about it. This scum is a respected senator. What shame he brings upon this nation. In satanic rituals, the blood of babies is essential because it is innocent blood. It is a direct affront to Christ. It is the most extreme form of denying Christ. Do entertainment industry people engage in these satanic rituals with baby blood to sell their soul to Satan? Mel Gibson stated that Hollywood does engage in blood sacrifice and satanic rituals. Megan Fox admitted that she takes part in them. Hell, Balenciaga ran an ad campaign this past year using children dressed up in BDSM outfits. This seems to be the norm for the elites. I have personally spoken to Hollywood A-listers that told me that this was true. They did this in a private conversation then.
Got it. Sure.
This is where we are in history now. This is not a mere cultural war. This is Satan against God and the Antichrist against Christ. Our president is a pedophile. That is not a happenstance. It is intentional. We as humans must pick a side. There is no neutrality. So in a minute, I want to talk about wars and rumors of wars, just to give people an idea of what kind of wars are in store for us.
One of the interesting things you said, Mitch, excuse me, is that one of these Hollywood A-listers, whoever Megan Fox is, admitted it. That didn't go over well with her power structure above her, I'm sure. You don't admit stuff like that. But I hear.
Well, she's not actually an A-lister anymore.
I would think that may
she's,
that may
she's
be.
She's gotten in trouble for that.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, there's plenty of people that talk about it. There was a Corey Haim, Corey Feldman. I mean, there's
Corey
lots
Feldman.
Of people who have talked about. Yeah,
right.
They talk about children being molested in Hollywood in order to get ahead. You know, that's just what you have to do.
Right.
These are disgusting human beings that run this business, and a part of it is you have to abase yourself before them in order to get ahead. And it's not that everybody has had to do that to get ahead, but this is the way it goes. If you don't have really great talent, you have to go to the bed with them, you know. So,
well, you know what, American
few who make it
movie
on talent
stars.
Alone.
Marilyn Monroe used to complain to her friends. She said, I'll rephrase this. She said, I'm really tired of giving oral sex to Jewish movie studio heads. That's what she said. Real tired of it. So they made her pay the price every step of the way, which is that's history. That's what Hollywood did. Still does, I'm sure. You want to be a star?
Another method of selling your soul, you know.
Right. Well, we've got recordings about of these A-listers admitting that. Ever from Bob Dylan on the way up to Katy Perry, they admitted on tape they made a deal with the devil.
Yep. That's exactly correct. You know, just through the years, I've bumped into some of these people. You know, sometimes in very private circumstances and stuff, and what they have told me is basically that this stuff is true. It's not, you know, they just act like, oh yeah, it's some conspiracy theory. Well, it's not. It's the reason it's talked about is because it's happening. You know, but we don't have a government who would look into it. The government's never looked into Hollywood. You know, we just don't do that.
No, it's owned by the same people. The government and Hollywood are owned by the same people. I'm not going to look into it.
Exactly.
No way.
Exactly. So we're going into bad times. So what I want to do is just get an overview of all the wars that we're going into, all the wars that are possible. So this is like wars and rumors of wars. So let me start with Latin America. There is an active war building between Venezuela and Guyana. Venezuela has claimed two-thirds of Guyana's territory. It is oil-rich. However, Guyana can't get investors precisely because of Venezuela's claims. Venezuela is massing troops on the Guyana border now. Because Brazil has easy access to this area from Venezuela, Brazil has massed troops on the border also. Brazil has told both sides that they may not use Brazilian territory for combat operations. Brazil also has a boundary dispute with Guyana, and they may want to assert it if open war breaks out. Venezuela also has boundary disputes with Colombia and Trinidad and Tobago. In a war, Guyana will get help from the former British Caribbean nations, the United States, and it's likely to come down. The United States is going to come down on Guyana's side for selfish reasons that include petroleum production and because we have bad relations with Venezuela already. The British may get involved, but they have very weak military now. I think they've sent one coastal patrol boat there. That's it. Not very intimidating. However, on its eastern flank, Guyana also has a boundary dispute with Suriname. Suriname has an insignificant military, but if there is a war, they may side with Venezuela to assert their claim while Guyana is besieged. The potential for war among all of the Latin American nations is possible because every Latin American nation has boundary issues with all of its neighbors. For example, Brazil has boundary claims with against Guyana, Suriname, France, Uruguay, Paraguay, Argentina, Bolivia, and Peru. The potential for all-out war is great. We just don't hear about it. The world war in Latin America will be over boundary disputes. Okay, so it's moved to Africa. In Africa, Ethiopia is in fair economic shape and fairly politically stable. So they are amassing troops on the Eritrean border because they are the second most populated nation in Africa, and they want an outlet to the sea. Eritrea was a part of Ethiopia until 1991, when it became independent. In West Africa, the former French colonies Mauritania, Mali, Niger, Chad, Burkina Faso are continuing to break ties with France and are now asking all European nations to pull everything out of their countries. They are also demanding that the United Nations get out. An anti-Western sentiment is gathering steam there. These nations are very aggravated at American arrogance and interference. You can tell that a geopolitical shift is taking place. Morocco and Algeria are ready to go to war over the Western Sahara. The world war in Africa will be between those who want to remain slaves to the West, like Nigeria, and those African states that want real independence from the West, like Nigeria. So let's go to Asia. In Asia, the China-Taiwan issue is the most unstable issue. China is, in fact, has territorial disputes with all of its neighbors. But pay attention to this. They have land disputes with India and Bhutan. China has island disputes with Japan, Brunei, Malaysia, Vietnam, and the Philippines, a Sea Rock dispute with South Korea, and a sea dispute with Indonesia. It would be a mistake to say that China will never settle its disputes. It has already peacefully settled its land disputes with Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Mongolia, Laos, Myanmar, Nepal, Pakistan, North Korea, and Russia. You will notice a pattern here. The only nations that China has peacefully settled its borders with are nations not influenced by the United States of America. Nations with the most ties to USA are still in conflict with China. It seems that the USA keeps peace away from Asia. Keep in mind that our ally Taiwan, keep this in mind, Taiwan also has territorial disputes with all of the nations that mainland China has. So all the disputes, even the disputes with that mainland China has settled with, like Nepal and Pakistan, they have not settled with Taiwan, and Taiwan still claims part of all those countries. Okay, and all these islands in the South China Sea, Taiwan claims them too.
So never hear
they
about
never
that,
tell
Mitch.
Us about that.
Never hear about it. Not a word.
Never hear about it, but that's the fact. Taiwan has all territorial disputes with all of its neighbors, and Japan has territorial disputes with all of its neighbors, Russia, South Korea, and China. Yet nobody calls them the bad guys. The world war in Asia will be over boundary disputes. So let's go to Europe. Developed Europe has many potential theaters of war. Ukraine and Moldova are the obvious wars, but also there is Serbia versus NATO, Greece versus Turkey. The world war in Europe will be caused by European Union totalitarianism and the NATO military aggression that began in Yugoslavia in the 1990s. The EU is destroying itself over Ukraine. You see nations join because all nations must unanimously vote to approve major issues. Now they have decided that they don't have to have unanimous decisions in order to fund the Ukraine war because Hungary and Slovakia is not going to approve that funding. Mm-hmm. So Ukraine is tearing the European Union apart, okay? And recently in Serbia, the United States tried to pull off another color revolution there, okay? This is the State Department, CIA, tried to make it a color revolution to overthrow the duly elected government of
same old, Serbia. Same old, yeah.
Same old thing, nothing new there. So the Middle East, war in the Middle East is caused by Israel. They are slow walking the ethnic cleansing of Gaza and the West Bank to try to not provoke an invasion by the Muslim nations. At some point, general and total war will break out. Last week, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin set up Operation Prosperity Guardian This week, all of our partners refused to take any action in the Red Sea and will only continue to patrol in the Gulf of Aden as they did before. Iran created a volunteer force with missile boats to counter the U.S.-led operation. The U.S. will not take strong action because they do not want to provoke Iran. If Iran enters the war, it puts Israel at risk. The U.S. does not want to attack the Houthis directly because they do not want to mess up the Houthi-Saudi Arabia truce. Yemen has enough missiles to shut down all oil production from Saudi Arabia and the UAE.
One question here, Mitch.
They don't want that oil production shut down. Go ahead.
The Saudi-Yemen Houthi, the Houthis had about 20% of Yemen. The rest of it was mostly just desert. Anyway, the Houthis a few days ago and the government came to complete peace terms in order to join forces to fight Israel. Now, remember, this is how tough the Houthis are. All of Saudi Arabia's money was brought to bear on trying to destroy Yemen. It didn't work. They got their butts kicked in many, many ways, the Saudis, by the Yemenis. And that was, of course, with help of Iran and Iranian weaponry. But they're not going to fold. The Houthis and the Yemenis are tough. Go ahead.
Well, as a result of this, shipping companies are unimpressed with this whole American force to protect them.
Right.
And what's funny is they're so unimpressed that the People's Liberation Army Navy, which has a big station, a naval base at Djibouti, right across the strait from Yemen, they have offered the world, hey, we will escort you through the Red Sea and you won't get hit, because, see, the Chinese can talk to the Yemenis and they can clear it. The Yemenis just don't want any ships to go to Israel. So they're not intending to shut all shipping down. They just want all shipping going to Israel. The United States wants to say, if no ships go to Israel, no ships go anywhere. So you see, we always throw a monkey wrench into everything.
Yes, we do.
So shipping companies are not impressed with the Secretary Austin's plan, and they're not going to go through the Red Sea.
He's a clown. He's a token clown.
Yes, he is.
God, embarrassing.
Yes, he got where he is because of his race, period.
That's it. Yep.
I think I talked last time about the fact that, you know, he is an infantry officer. He went in 1975. He went through many wars. We went through many wars from 75 into 2000, and he didn't go to a single one of them. He does not have a combat infantryman badge, okay? So he never saw combat until he was a general in Iraq in 2003. Well, if you're a general, you cannot get a combat infantryman badge. You can get a combat action badge, but not a combat infantryman badge. So he has a combat action badge, just like a mechanic or a unit clerk might have.
He's a fraud. Okay? He's just another fraud.
Yes, he's a total fraud.
Yeah.
So, anyways, the idiotic madness continues. On December 12th, the Zionist monster Zelensky met with Republican leadership to beg them to squander more money in his genocide of the Ukrainian people. Mm-hmm. He comes in his military sweatshirt, having no respect at all for decorum. He is the Fetterman of Europe, a slob. He wants to project a military image, yet photos of him dressed in drag at gay pride parade in New York City abound. Yet in these times, military chic is equated with gayness and sissies. Zelensky reinforces that. Afterwards, after the meeting, the male Senate Republican leadership, McConnell, Thune, Barrasso, and Daines, got up to speak how we need to secure our own border before they secure Ukraine's border. Republican females are out of sync. Joni Ernst virtue signaled about Jewish women being raped by Hamas. And Shirley Moore Capito virtue signaled about stopping anti-Semitism. Republicans are not serious and will cave to a plan that gives the appearance of action on the border without changing anything. The pig Zelensky expects us to believe that if Russia takes Ukraine, Europe and America will be next. This is nonsense. Russia is not a threat to NATO. NATO is a threat to Russia. Ukraine may cease to exist precisely because of that threat. In the end, Zelensky is a sodomite chump who sold Ukraine out to American imperial ambitions. Even in domestic politics, people are delusional. On December 13th, Anna Navarro said on CNN that Ron DeSantis' campaign was killed by abortion. How so? Trump supporters are generally anti-abortion. What killed DeSantis' campaign is obvious, but they don't want to say it. He made a special law criminalizing anti-Semitism, making it a felony, and then flew to Israel to sign it into law. People want America first leader, not an Israel first leader. Anna Navarro does not want you to think these thoughts. Abortion is the narrative that they use to justify the results of the 2023 rigged election. Republicans trip over each other to render obeisance to the Zionist Antichrist. Ron DeSantis just proved himself publicly to be pro-Zionist and anti-Christian. You cannot serve two masters. You must choose between Christ and the Antichrist. Israel and Zionism is the Antichrist. So, there you have it.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, you've summed it up again. It's all facts. It's not speculation. It is what it is. Just amazing. We are being taken to hell, and we're allowing it. We are allowing, by our silence, we allow. I don't see anybody out in the streets, and pushing a few keys on your phone and forwarding an email isn't going to do anything. You see how all the potential revolutionary spirit of the people has been sublimated and misdirected with tech? They've all used it. It's very, very clever stuff. Very. It's sickening. I just don't see any way out of it. The government is communist, useless, worthless. There's nothing going to be done about it. Nothing. You can't do anything through the ballot box. We know that.
Yeah, who's to vote for anyway? Who is there to vote for?
Oh, no, but no decent people run for office.
For Israel. As soon as October 7th happened, you saw all the Republican whores come out for Israel.
All of them.
And that's what
Joni
I call them.
Ernst is another
Israel.
One. Yeah, Nikki yes. Haley, come on.
This oh, gosh, Nikki Haley just tripped over herself to kiss the butt of Israel and the Jews. She tripped over herself to do that.
So did DeSantis. He actually signed a Florida legislation law. He flew to Israel to sign it in Israel, on Israeli territory, because something to do with Jewish residents of Florida, for something like
and
that.
And guess what? The Jews don't vote for him, you know?
No.
I mean, I don't understand. You know, back long ago when James Baker, when he was the Secretary of State, is under Bush, you know, some news people asked him, they says, well, aren't you concerned with what the liberal, the Jewish lobby has to say about all this stuff? And he said this, and I quote, fuck the Jews, they don't vote for us.
That's right.
What happened in the past 30 years? What happened? Well, what happened was people saying anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism, which is a lie. It is a complete lie.
You bet.
You know, how many times you have to go over it? 97% of the Semitic people are Arabs, and they're Muslims. How is being against Jews in Israel in any way anti-Semitic?
And by the way,
if anything, it would be pro-Semitic.
Those Semitic Muslims and people who identify as, we'll call them biblical Jews, have virtually identical DNA. There's no difference. The only difference is those who identify as being Jewish. That's it. And that story that discovered that, by the way, as I've said many times, vanished from the news media in one day. It was gone. The Jews would not allow that out.
Yeah.
Oh, we're the same? And there was ethnic Jews who have been able to trace their lineage back 2,000 years are the same as the Palestinians. Now, you see, most Jews are light. They're white-skinned, blue-eyed. They're European Jews. They're Khazars.
Yes.
They didn't even come from the Middle East. Anyhow.
No.
It's all sickening.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, where do we go? Here we are. We're going toward the end here of the year. It's 2024, basically. What do you see happening, Mitch? Mm-hmm. Where's this going to go? Do you think that Netanyahu is going to be successful at expelling all Palestinians from Gaza? Will the expulsion work? Can he get away with it? Who's going to stop him? I guess is the first part of the answer. Who's going to stop him? And what are they going to do?
Well, first he's going to just take it all over, okay, and then he will make sure they're expelled.
Okay? Or but give him, they'll come down with something fatal, like bio warfare. Watch.
Right, right. I mean, listen, they were talking last week about Israel invading Lebanon, but why isn't Israel doing that? Well, they're not doing it because as soon as they invade another Arab country, I think all kid gloves are off. I think the shit will hit the fan. Just like right. The United States is not going to bomb. You know, I see these colonels and generals on TV saying, why doesn't Biden just bomb the missile sites in Yemen? Well, you know, that's good tactics. Tactically, that's what you would want to do. But strategically, what is the purpose of this war? It is to ethnic cleanse Israel. And they want to do that without interference of other countries. Okay, so if we bomb those sites in Yemen, Iran comes into the war. Okay, and then Israel can lose. Okay, if we bomb Iran because people are bombing American bases in Iraq and Syria, it's the same thing. Iran comes into the war. So the United States is not going to bomb Yemen, and we're not going to bomb Iran because that will broaden the war and put Israel at risk. Israel is the cause that America lives for. Israel is the God of America. Israel is the purpose of America. He's the purpose of American power. And Israel comes first before anything else. We see on TV Joe Biden trying to tell Netanyahu how to run his war. No, no, no. That tail of Israel is wagging the American dog. Okay?
Sure is.
They're in charge of this war, not us. That's why we don't bomb Yemen and we don't bomb Iran. We don't want to expand the war. Israel backed off attacking Lebanon because they did the calculations and they say, okay, if we send troops over the border, it's on. You know, you look at it this way. This is gonna go on and on. They're gonna slow creep this and they're gonna just tally up their brutality. I mean, I saw Anthony Blinken talking about Ukraine that we cannot let Russia get away with bombing schools and churches and hospitals and exterminating the people of Ukraine. He should be talking about not letting Israel get away with that, but Blinken is a Zionist Jew. Zionist Jews run America. They run America for the purpose of supporting right. Israel. It's all about Israel.
You got it.
I think what people have to
you
better wake up. If you think you're a Christian and you support Israel, you better wake up because your soul is at stake.
Okay? You're
in danger of losing it.
We are owned in whole by international Zionism. They run this country. They bleed this country. They take anything they want from this country. And we have supported them and given them all of their financial capital of worth since they were formed. They run it. You got to understand that. There's nothing you're going to do at the ballot box to change any of this. They own all the people in Congress of note. They own the political system. Yeah, they do. And they own every major profession, every science, all the media. They own it. They get in, they promote only themselves, and they take over. They're very smart. I tell you, I've never seen anything like it. I'm stunned at how amazing they are.
You know, what they do is they debase it. They get into science and they debase it, okay?
Correct.
If you love science, you need to start paying attention to what they're saying. If you pay attention to them, you'll see that I used to love science. Now I practically can't stand it because of all the
perverted.
Nonsense.
corrupted.
Yeah, it's just nonsense. Yeah. They expect you to believe ridiculous things, okay?
I know.
And they built up this armor so that they could say, during COVID, they could say, you have to believe science. You have to trust science. You have to obey us.
Trust the science.
Okay?
Trust
it's
whose science?
Scam.
Trust their science. That's right.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Mitchell, thank you.
Yes,
always a great walk
You're
with
welcome.
You. See you next year, as they say, and God help us all. Keep your seatbelts fastened, because things are going to get worse. And I'm sorry to say it. I don't see it any other way.
Well, I'm
prepare,
gonna talk
prepare.
A little bit about that. On we're going to be on Monday, January 1st.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Prepare.
I'm gonna open the new year by telling people some things, okay?
Good. Okay, thanks, Mitch. Very good. Right. Great work,
bye-bye.
As always. Thank you. All right, we will be back tomorrow, Thursday. Thank you for being here. Hope you learned something. I learned something every time out. It's fascinating. So we will talk tomorrow night, and I do mean this. If you've got a chance to do some preparation, please do it. Things could go very south very fast. Talk to you tomorrow. Take care.